Welcome to Sensible Health Solutions, the show where we simplify health and wellness. Join your hosts, Haley Fields and Dr. Scott Looper, as they share practical tips and expert insight to help you navigate common ailments, nutrition, and overall well-being. Tune in for straightforward advice that empowers you to live a healthier life.
Hi, Dr. Looper. How are you?
Hello, Haley. I'm doing good.
Good. Well, I think that we should continue our conversation covering women's health. The last few episodes, we've talked about PMS symptoms and endometriosis. I think that we should segue into menopause this episode.
Good. The problem with women is they're people and they suffer, and they suffer unnecessarily, because if people understood women, if they understood why they got sick the way they did with hormones screwing them up, and they had some idea about how to fix it, the life would be better for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So this is absolutely worth doing, worth talking about, worth putting the time and energy into it. Though, having said that, I want to make a confession, which is, if we've done two shows on women's health already, and we keep saying the same thing over and over again, and we're going to do that again, because it turns out that all of these topics are closely related. They all have at their core hormone balancing.
Right.
And we've talked about how to get your hormones balanced, which is you have to get your liver to work better. So I'm just giving you the punchline of the whole talk, which is the key of managing PMS and endometriosis and menopause and fibroids and a bunch of women's problems is getting the liver to do its job better and balancing hormones.
Okay.
You'd think the way to get this to fix is to take more hormones.
Right.
But it is not.
To curb certain hormones.
That is a problematic strategy of health, helping hormone problems. It's just to pile the hormones up and take more. Anyway, so let's. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me go back to the beginning of the talk and talk about menopause. First of all, let's just talk about what menopause is. Menopause is when you quit having a period.
Mm-hmm.
So your meno, that's the period, pause. That is in pauses.
It pauses. Yeah. And so is that overproduction of estrogen or an underproduction of estrogen?
It's just programmed in. First of all, it's not a disease. There's nothing to fix. It's fine. It's just what happens. What drives it is you run out of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
You have a certain number of eggs in your ovaries. And then you release one or two or three or whatever, a few of them, with every cycle, and you run out. And then the system just kind of shuts down and then doesn't run anymore. Now, your ovaries don't die.
No.
They're still there.
Yeah.
They still make hormones, but just not like they did before.
So not enough to produce ovulation?
Now, and there's really not anything to ovulate.
Yeah, because all the eggs are gone.
So the problem with menopause isn't that it's a thing, because menopause is not a problem. The problem with menopause is it's got a lot of problems associated with it. So
right, like hot flashes, and night sweats, and day sweats, and headaches, and mood swings.
Yes.
So similar to PMS.
Yes. They're very closely related.
Except, I mean, I'm, you know, a young woman in her puberty years, and I have never experienced hot flashes. So why in menopause is hot flash a certain symptom that you get?
No one knows exactly why. I do know that when your body heats up, it runs better.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, and I'm probably right, that the hot flashes are there to fix the underlying problem.
Sure.
So if your liver isn't doing its job very well, one of the things you could do to get your liver to do its job better is to heat it up.
Yeah, strike a fever.
It does chemical processes. In fact, if you measure the temperature of the different parts of your body, your hottest piece is your liver.
Okay.
It tends to run, 103, somewhere around there, normally. So you're generating a lot of heat out of your liver.
Okay.
Okay? So if you want to get the liver to work better, what you do is heat it up, and it works quicker, better, faster. So the problem with menopause isn't that you quit having a period. The problem is you have all these you know, difficult symptoms that go along with this. And mostly it's not really associated with menopause. That's the other thing. It's a misnomer. What it's associated with is the time around the menopause, which is known as the perimenopausal time.
So like a menstruation, there's a...
The thing is, well, most of the time when you're having problems with menopause, most women are still having periods. Uh-huh. They didn't stop.
Uh-huh.
Their periods are irregular.
Okay.
They start missing a period, okay, or having one come early or go late or go long or be light. And there's an irregularity that gets into the system. And a woman could be in this, you know, perimenopausal zone for, I don't know, a year or two or three or five or seven. I mean, a lot of years it's possible you could be perimenopausal.
Huh.
Which is not good news if you're having a hard time,
yeah,
with your perimenopausal, yeah, symptoms. Now, many women don't have any problem whatsoever. No, not many. It's probably a minority.
Yeah, I've heard from some of my older,
around 80%,
you know, relatives and friends who go through that stage of their life, and they all have symptoms.
Yeah, in America it's more. Okay. In other countries it's less.
Not, is that because
I don't know
of
about
our
all
diets?
Other countries. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you'd think, because if it's like Dr. Looper says, and it's all about the liver.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't take good care of our liver here in the United States. We tend to eat.
Drinking, alcohol consumption.
Yeah. Alcohol is a problem?
I mean, yeah, alcohol is in prevalence in many other countries, but I don't think they abuse it
as
much.
Alcohol. It's not alcohol by itself. What it is mostly is carbohydrates, fast food, fried foods, poor quality foods, sweets, those kinds of things.
Okay, so recently I've actually heard of women in their 60s getting hormone replacement to continue their periods, taking, yeah, high testosterone. Why would they want to do that?
Well, so they can feel young. Okay. That's why. And it's not to have babies, because you run out of eggs.
Sure.
It's just so that you have the hormones of a young person. Now, doctors,
the vigor,
and patients have been, and this is both of a male and female variety, have been doing this for decades. I mean, since the 60s?
Mm-hmm.
It, as an attempt to try to, you know, turn back the clock. I mean, you know, if it's possible, we should give it a go. The problem is, it doesn't work as well as you think it would. You create a dependency on hormones. Let me back it up. There's a beauty to the way things work naturally, and when they fall into place, you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this vitality.
Mm-hmm.
Except for when they don't fall into place, you don't feel good and you don't have vitality, and you remember feeling better, and so you search for it. And it seems pretty logical that if I had higher hormones, you know, more estrogen or more testosterone back when I was younger, and we did it now, chances are I'd feel better. And the answer is, yeah, you do, kinda. Except for your body doesn't really know how to handle that much hormone. It doesn't manage it well. You start getting side effects from the hormone, and you get, you know, the chance of getting cancer goes up, the chance of getting mood problems goes up, the chance of getting to the point where you have to take this for the rest of your life, because if you quit taking it, you're going to feel worse than you ever felt before, goes up. In fact, that's a lock.
Okay.
For doing this. I'm not a big fan of doing hormone replacement, and mostly I'm not a big fan of doing hormone replacement because when I was a younger doctor, the hormone replacement blew up. I mean, nearly every woman of a certain age that I knew was on hormone replacement for their health. And it turns out many of them got...
So you got to actually see the progression of that. You got to see the fallout from...
Yeah, where it got shut down.
Okay.
I mean, really, there was a report that came. It was a research that was done. And in the research, they discovered that women were getting cancer at higher rates. And so they shut
breast
down...
Breast cancer?
Yeah.
Okay.
And ovarian cancer, too.
Okay.
And they got the hormone replacement got shut down. Now, it's come back a little... and it's a bit very careful. Now, we could do a whole show on hormone replacement.
Okay.
But I want to do a bigger conversation than just hormone replacement. I want to talk about what to do about menopause so you don't suffer.
So we'll reel it back. We'll go back to menopause and save that for another
episode. So by the
end
of the show, you have some kind of sense of how to fix it.
I was just, you know, curious.
Okay, so menopause is when you get these symptoms. There's a few, you mentioned a few of them already. Let's go over the ones you mentioned. You get hot flashes, you get moodiness, you get insomnia, you get vaginal dryness, you get thinner skin. I'm missing something here, but that those
headaches.
Are, yeah, headaches is another one. You're right. There's another one that shows up.
Do they have cramping as we have cramping?
No. Yes, it can be.
Okay.
Yes, but not usually. That's not a common problem. And what we're looking at here is the fact that estrogen levels are dropping and you're getting the symptoms associated with estrogen surges. Now, let me back up and say, no one knows exactly why menopausal symptoms happen, which is weird because considering how common it is, you think they would have figured it out by now. So no one knows exactly what it is. But here's what we do know. If you put women on hormones, the symptoms tend to get better.
Mm-hmm.
They also tend to grow cancer more.
Right.
Yeah, so we're not really into that hormone replacement thing. We try not to do that. Is there anything else we can do? The answer is yes. What we can do is we can take herbs and do things that help your liver work better.
Yeah.
So let me give you a quick
refresher
of the stuff we talked about before. The thing about the liver is the main job that the liver has to do is finish the process of digesting your food. So if your food is toxic, that is, if you're eating things that don't digest very well, the bacteria in your digestive system gets a boon because there's undigested food that is presented to them in the lower digestive system. And they eat it, and they use what they want, and they poop out what they don't want. And that poop that they're making is not good. It is not a happy poop at all in any way. It's toxic is what it is. In fact, we call it as toxins.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, what should happen is when you eat food, you should be able to digest all of it, except for the stuff that's undigestible, which is fiber. And then the beneficial bacteria digest the fiber, and so it's happiness and joy abounding. We all come out ahead, they come out ahead, everything's great. Now, if you eat foods that are difficult to digest, or you eat too much of a food, even if it's easy to digest, you just simply overload the system by eating too much. Instead of eating one piece of pizza, you eat five pieces of pizza, and there's just more pizza than your body can handle. Now, some people can eat a whole pizza and they do just fine. Other people can eat half a piece of pizza and it's too much, they can't digest it, where there's a lot of variability in your ability to digest. Young males, teenagers, tend to be really good about digesting hard to digest things. Older women, menopausal age, tend to be the worst age for digesting things.
Aww.
They tend to be, their digestive system tends to be the weakest.
Okay.
Okay? So if you eat, you know, food that's hard to digest, and then it's...
Well, are they not producing enough digestive enzymes?
Yeah, exactly. The whole system is just weak.
Okay.
Okay. So, and not enough acid, a bunch of other kinds of stuff. So anyway, so the leftovers go down, they rot. That's another way of saying this. The bacteria eat them and metabolize them, that's rotting. And then they make rotten stuff, and that rotten stuff gets absorbed by your colon, because that's what its job is, to absorb stuff, and gets funneled to your liver. Now your liver has to work on cleaning all that out, and that is a priority job. And so what it does is it works on detoxing the toxins that are coming in from your digestive system, and it ignores the hormone regulation, because hormone regulation, your life doesn't depend on it today. Now, eventually it will, but it's not an urgent item. It's much more important to deal with the toxicity that's coming from your digestive system. And so the hormones are allowed to kind of pile up. Now, what the liver would do is it would take each and every hormone, fondle it, decide whether it was good enough to throw back into circulation, or this one's getting too old and wobbly, we're going to screw a tag on it and throw it into the sewage.
Right.
So it goes into the bile goes into the gallbladder, gallbladder goes into the digestive system, and eventually works its way out into the, you know,
even the colon.
Yeah. So that's how it should work, and that doesn't happen when the liver is being overwhelmed with too much stuff, too much bad stuff coming in from the digestive system. It ignores that job, and now hormones tend to pile up, and then eventually the liver says, we got to deal with this thing, they're piled up too much, and so it batches it and runs all the hormones through, and the hormone levels drop, and so they surge slowly and they drop suddenly, and they surge slowly and they drop suddenly,
and that's
what drives the symptoms. It drives the symptoms of hot flashes, menopausal stuff, PMS, morning sickness. This is kind of the same thing. The hormone regulation is poor. And so they're all kind of mixed together in terms of the same basic problem, just at different phases of a woman's life.
Wow.
And
lucky
it's,
us.
And slightly different flavor as it plays out. So, yeah, if you have really hard periods, chances are you're going to have a hard menopause. If you had a lot of morning sickness, chances are you're going to have a hard menopause.
Okay.
Right.
So I had no morning sickness with my girl. It was a very easy pregnancy.
You're lucky.
Luckily, so, yes. But, you know, periods are hard. Periods are not the best, so.
So that's another interesting show we could do is what happens during pregnancy and how your hormones change and so on and so forth. I'm tempted to start on that conversation right now, but I will not.
Okay, in the hopper, hormone replacement therapy and pregnancies.
Okay, let's go back to what you do about menopause. So
we treat the liver, or we treat promoting liver function. You talked about how it gets backed up and it's overproducing. So what we can do to help promote the liver.
Yeah, okay.
It
boils down the same thing every single show we've ever done since the beginning of time. You got to eat right,
exercise,
and you got to exercise. Yeah, right.
And you got to sleep.
Yeah, and sleep, right. So it's the same story as before. The eat right takes precedence on this one. What you want to do to treat menopause is to, well, I usually start off with the herbs because they're easy, and we just start off with the herbs and we do the herb thing. Because the diet thing takes longer, and you got to kind of get used to it and practice to do it. So we'll talk about the diet thing, but again, we'll do the herbs. Herbs are really the entry point because it's the easier thing to do. Anyways, with the diet, what you want to do is you want to make sure you don't overeat, mm-hmm. and that what you do eat is easily digested.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me some examples of hard-to-digest foods?
Anything that's preserved. Anything yeah, that has a shelf life of over a month.
Yep. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Turns out to be most everything we eat.
Yeah.
It's designed not to rot.
Yeah.
Rotting is digestion. If it won't rot, it won't digest easily.
Right.
And so it's harder for us to get through it.
So less carbohydrates, more fresh leafy greens.
Yeah. Fruits and vegetables.
Meats
that are fresh. Preserved meats are some of the hardest things to digest that we ever come into contact with.
Are they? What about frozen? Not like preserved, like salamis and hams and turkey, you know, the processed like sandwich meat. But what about like frozen?
Frozen's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, frozen, all it does is it inhibits it from rotting right now, this minute, and it disrupts the cellular structure.
It'll rot later.
But it's okay. You're going to take it from the freezer and you're just going to cook it, which is going to also disrupt the cellular structure, and it's fine. Comes out fine. It's lovely. It's wonderful. It's not perfect. If it never froze, it's slightly better.
Mm-hmm.
My experience is frozen meats and frozen seafood are fine.
Okay.
Unless you're really, really a gourmet and you're going to have to get exactly the right kind. For the rest of us regular people, frozen stuff is fine. If you freeze it and then thaw it and then freeze it again, now you have gook.
Right. Because,
so you can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. The quality deteriorates intensely. Now, if you take a food and you mix it with stuff that inhibits its rotting, you smoke it, you dry it, you salt it, you chemicalize it
mm-hmm.
in some way, then now it's hard to digest.
Mm-hmm.
The bugs can't digest it, and neither can we, at least
Ooh.
Not easily.
I didn't know that about salt.
Salt?
No. Well, sure, that's used as a preservative. Man, I didn't put that together as, like,
yep.
everyday food.
Yep.
I put salt on everything.
So what you do is, if you sprinkle a little salt on your food, it doesn't change much at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a food, you put it in a barrel, and then you pack it into salt,
uh-huh.
and you put three other ones on top and pack those in salt. That's what they used to do on a ship, right?
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Pack their food in
yeah.
salt. And then you dig in the barrel and you pull it out, and you have this shriveled, mostly dried up thing,
uh-huh.
whatever it is, right? Because the salt sucked all the moisture out of it, and now the proteins are different. They're not the proteins that went in the barrel. They're modified. They're shrunk. They're twisted. They're tight. They're harder for our enzymes to get in there and break them down, for anybody's enzymes. So if you're a microbe, you can't digest this stuff either, and if you're a human being, you can't digest it easily. Now, what you could do is you could rinse the salt off, so you soak it, right? And then you boil it for a while, which loosens everything up, and then you eat it, and it's better than, you know, than eating something rotten. I mean, there's there's an advantage to having food that won't rot. You can eat it.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like edible.
In the olden days, you're on a ship, right?
Sure.
Except for if you're in modern times, you got some options. You do not need to eat salt pork
mm-hmm.
out of a barrel, right? You can do better.
Yeah.
Now, nobody eats salt pork, right? Because the hot stuff is horrible, with rare exception. But people eat, I don't know, hot dogs. Or salami, or pepperoni, or luncheon meats, or all kinds of stuff that's been preserved. Ham, for that matter.
Yeah.
Is got cured the salt ham. In it and the curing agents as well. Now, you eat a little...
What about, like, cured ham without the nitrates?
So, if you put nitrates in it, that inhibits the digestion as well. That slows digestion.
Yeah.
So, that makes it harder to digest.
Right.
So, this is kind of a weird conversation, because instead of talking about hormones and how to get them to be normalized, what I'm talking about is how don't eat crap food.
Yeah.
But I am talking about how to get the hormones to be normalized, because if you don't eat crap food, you eat healthy food, then your liver works better and your liver manages your hormones.
Right.
There it is. We're back
on
hormones.
And your digestion, it processes so that your liver doesn't have to work as hard.
Okay, so now let's say, okay, thank you, Dr. Looper. I'll work on eating more, you know, vegetables and fresh meats. In the meantime, I'm having these horrible hot flashes. What do you do? And the answer is herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Herbs are very effective. And what the herbs do, by and large, is they help the liver work better. You could have told me that.
Yeah.
It's not hard to figure. That's what the herbs are doing.
So herbs in the beginning just to kickstart the liver, to get it to function. And then while the herbs are doing its job, you are in your, you know, own time as well working on diet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything will get better. Your sleep will get better. Your body's ability
to
repair is better.
How many weeks does it usually take you to fix?
About 2 months.
2 months.
You wonder why 2 months? It seems like a long time. 2 months, really? I got to eat right and exercise for 2 months and sleep well?
Well, hopefully would probably eat right and exercise a little bit longer than 2 months.
Well, it's to kind of get the feel for it, like have it start to working. There's the hormones have a momentum. They have an inertia. And whatever your hormones are today, they tend to be what they're going to be tomorrow, because your body doesn't want to change these things. So even if you start a program of, you know, fabulosity, it takes a while for your body to learn to trust you, to allow your body to change the way it does things. Mm-hmm. So there tends to be a lag. So 2 months is about the earliest. 3 months is actually, you know, also a possibility. And it depends on you do the program. It may take 4 or 5 months even, I guess, if you kind of like halfway do it. But if I can't stand these hot flashes anymore. I want to change them. Not only that, but I've been tired and my sleep's not good and my skin's not good and da-da-da-da like this. I'm ready for a transformation. What do I do? You know, we can lay it out and say, here's how to eat it. We already did that. We just did it on the show. This is what you do, more or less, right? We just laid out the principles. And then in the meantime, let's see if we can knock these things down here in the next few days by having you take some herbs.
So what are the herbs that you...
So the same list we used before from the one previous show, Dong Quai is a herb. Angelica is another name for it. Chaste tree, and that's Vitex. Chaste tree, right?
Chaste, yeah.
that sounds like it's got to do something with balance your hormones right there.
Mm-hmm.
Red clover.
Vitex, trifolium.
Yeah, red clover is helpful.
Simifuga.
Yeah, simifuga. Very good. Yeah, you know.
I've been making these tinctures a few years now.
So, blue cohosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there anything that kind of helps with circulation tends to help. Ginkgo tends to be a helpful herb.
I feel like glyceriza helps.
Oh,
with
yeah,
almost
of course,
everything.
Glyceriza.
Anyways.
We can't leave that one off the list. Yeah, for sure. When it comes to hormones, glyceriza is super helpful. And so what we do is just take those ingredients, pretty much that same list, put them in equal parts into a formula, give it a shake, and then take a teaspoon twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And the chances of it working within a few days is runs around 80%, 80, 85, somewhere around there. So very good.
Okay.
Not always. Some women are tougher, and then it won't touch them. And so they have to do something else. Either they have to tough it out while they're doing the lifestyle changes, or if they're really determined to shut this off right away as best they can, what they'll need to do is hormone replacement.
I wonder, and as we're talking, I wonder if their thyroid is an issue for them sometimes.
For sure. So not always, but what the thyroid does, it's common for people as they get older to have the thyroid not work as well. Not just women, but people in general. And women especially. And when you get cold and slow, your liver slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work as well. And so things tend to pile up. And your hormones tend to get batched, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to get symptoms of menopause. So that's a problem, for sure. So thyroid is one of the ways to help turn this around. Also, if we just simply heat people up and just get them to be warmer. So we talked about, I don't know if we did talk about exercise.
Well, exercise, sure, but then that leads me to think hydrotherapy might
yes.
be something.
Hydrotherapy is another thing that you can do. So hydrotherapy being a treatment where we heat people up with warm towels and then we shock their system with cold towels, and the warmth helps speed things up and the cold helps to lock it in.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll come out of it feeling better, stronger.
Their body's natural ability to raise their internal temperature is increased. Their circulation is increased. Circulation promotes liver actual processing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge boon to move those stubborn cases forward,
mm-hmm.
is to do hydrotherapy. We do it here at the clinic, or we can have people do it at home. You could do it in a shower where you finish your shower with cold. In fact, it works better if you take a warm shower and then you finish with cold, then you go back to warm and you go back to cold, then you go back to warm and then you stop on cold. That is, you do cold and then you jump out of the shower. No matter what the hydrotherapy is, you need to finish on cold because it works better by stopping on cold, because the cold forces your body to fight against the cold and you heat up. Your
mm-hmm.
metabolism goes up. If you're going to be doing showers, the best part of your body to have the cold water hit is here at the top of your neck.
The brown fat.
I mean, the bottom of your neck, top of your spine, where the brown fat lives. Yeah, because if you can simulate the brown fat, that's one of the key parts of your body that'll generate heat and warm you up. And so if you could stimulate that particular spot, then it'll work better. You get more effective out of it.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Any closing thoughts?
Yeah, with menopause, it's harder than you think to, because as a man, to know what a woman's going through, and you go, oh, it's just a hot flash. It's not. Hot flashes are debilitating. They really are a problem. And so it's something that you don't need to just say, well, you know, everybody gets them, I'm just going to tough it out. Don't. Take action. There's a very, very, very good chance that you can fix the symptoms associated with menopause by taking action. And one last thing is, there's oftentimes you can use hormones in the cream form, and you don't get the cancer side effect. What you get is a local effect. So if you have a vaginal dryness or vaginal pain with sex, because the lining of the vagina gets thinner without estrogen, you can do local estrogen and you get a local effect, and it'll thicken things up and make them work better, and it's fabulous.
Oh,
it's a safe, effective way to do this. Oh, and one last thing too is soy. Soy's got a bad reputation because it's got phytoestrogens in it, and the estrogens can be a problem with, you know, cancer and such,
mm-hmm.
except for they're not. They don't grow cancer. The phytoestrogens work in a different way. And what they do is they really help with the side effects of your liver trying to balance the hormones. And then it just works better, honestly. So soy is not the cure for menopause most
but
of the time.
It's helpful.
But occasionally it is.
So edamame?
Edamame. It turns out to be the best form of soy. So edamame's got the most
protein.
Phytoestrogens in it.
Mm-hmm.
Tofu is up there. Soy milk is. The more processed the soy is,
the
less of the
less
estrogen effect.
It is.
I mean, if you drink a half gallon of soy milk, you're going to get a fair dose of the same.
Yeah.
Or you can eat a little handful of edamame. And I think edamames they're better and tastier and easier to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's another one of the things that you can do. It's kind of a small thing, but it's worth mentioning.
Okay. That is all the time we have for this episode, Dr. Looper. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sensible Health Solutions. We hope you found today's discussion enlightening and packed with practical tips to enhance your wellness journey. Remember, small changes can lead to big results. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us bring you the best content possible. Stay connected with us on social media for more health insights and updates. You can find us at Sensible Health Solutions across all social platforms. Until next time, stay sensible and stay healthy. This content is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Seek medical advice from a healthcare professional for any medical conditions.